Blog Talk Radio.
Wanted to be the Sabbath for sure. I want to say happy Thursday to you and welcome to Thursday night business meeting. I am Brother Miles and I'm presiding. Let me open up your mics here. This is an open forum, a business meeting. Good evening. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you also, Brother Miles.
Amen. Amen. You guys sound really good.
Thank you.
I see that you guys have gotten more snow up in Minnesota, And
yes, it's snowing now.
Amen. I don't know how y'all put up with it. I ain't never got to worry about shoveling sunshine.
Right. You're right.
Amen. Let's see if anybody else pops in tonight. Been having people coming sporadically here and there. So online, you know, the attendance seems to be more stable. But our call-ins, people are sporadic. I don't think people going through things and what have you. Anyway, we'll see if anybody else joins. We'll give them a couple of minutes here. See if anybody else joins in. Let's see, what else? Yeah, Russia has attacked Ukraine. And
the Father's word is true.
It is. One of the things that came to, I think I was dreaming this, really going over, I think it was behind these four kids or three kids that tried to bring down the U.S. power grid.
Right.
They were planning an attack on it. And one of the things I said, you know, I got the stuff that I need, but what I don't have that I need, anybody got one of those old-fashioned coffee pots? The one that you sit on the stove?
The one you put on the stove?
Right.
Yes, I have one.
Yeah, I don't have one. And I was
I don't have one
either
because I don't drink coffee.
Oh, okay, amen. I drink coffee, drink tea. And so I was saying, well, I need to get one of these. I need to get the cast iron pots and pans and stuff, too, that you cook over a fire with.
Yeah.
So I was going to order some of those maybe later today or tomorrow, order the cast iron pots and pans and the tin plates and cups and stuff that you use for camping. Because, you know, glassware doesn't really work. And so I was looking at that, you know, I said also if the electric grid went out, if they happen to get hacked, and the electric grid and the gas grid are just not something that you can just bring right back up. You know, when you lose power in your city, they only lose power to portions of the city. It's rare that you lose power to an entire city. And if they do, then it takes them, sometimes it could take months to bring it back up. Like, let's say with New Orleans and the hurricanes that went through there, took out the entire electrical grid, and it took them months to get everybody back up. And so, if you imagine there's no electricity. When there's no electricity, even the gas pumps don't work. So you go to the gas station trying to get gas, and they don't work. Go to the ATMs, they don't work. The banks open up because they don't have the computers, to do all this stuff. And so looking at that, you really need to have a contingency, a plan in place for that. Because you never know. You never know from natural disaster or from whether it's a natural disaster or, whether it's some type of cyber attack.
Right.
If you don't have the money or the resources on you, you can't get it. If you don't have enough gas in your car, and once people start running out of gas, and if it do open back up, then the lines are long. But everything is supposed to go up this year. From gas, food, everything going up.
Everything.
So it is. It is vital that we, you know, get on this land and start to grow our own food, because you start seeing, I've even started seeing more videos of, you know, now why you should be growing your own food.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they know that there's a crisis coming. And I really do think that, we're going to get hit in such a way that it's just going to take a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people by surprise. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be war. We are in a such of a sensitive and a critical, you know, place and stage that anything can happen. And you may, you know, like I said, if you lose the electric grid, you know, you might have your gas stove, but you got no TV, you got no internet, you got no phone. All
right.
These modern conveniences that we're living by, that, you know, they just sort of go away. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if depending upon how long it lasts, you know, without electricity, sooner or later, your refrigerator is going to get what, hot? And
yep.
Everything in
right.
it will start to go bad.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a lot of things to consider. And with Russia doing what it's doing, and, you know, with the potential for it to spill over, you know, an accident can happen at any time. Let's say some type of Polish airliner, or any of the other member NATO countries, let's say Russia mistakenly hits one of them. Because, you know, Ukraine is surrounded by NATO countries. It was trying to become
yeah.
a NATO country, but missiles have been known to, you know, go off course, or to hit, you know, something mistakenly. And then that, you know, right now, NATO doesn't really have, can't really say that they've been provoked, because Ukraine is really on its own. It's not a member of NATO. Hadn't been that long, you know, where it declared independence from Russia. And so Putin going back in there, you know, the NATO nations can say that, you know, they can do all the normal hype stuff. You know, we're going to sanction you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And Russia can't really afford real deep sanctions either. But, you know, this could quickly escalate. And, you know, the U.S. is not the power that it used to be.
No, it's not.
The ones we really don't want to wake up is China.
China.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, China's military is almost the same. Their military population is almost the same size as the U.S. complete population.
Because you can look around and they mostly basically taking over anyway.
Yeah. We can't do what we've been doing. We won't be able to, you know, we won't be somebody that you can just walk over, or, you know, that they're going to really want to mess with.
Right.
But should they come against this country on more than one front, we can't fight, you know, we can't fight multiple wars, especially against China and Russia together.
Right.
So we need NATO, because if we get attacked in NATO, which if you really want to look at NATO with us in it, that is the revised Roman Empire. That's the beast in Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the European nations. And then the U.S. is actually, we were founded by those same countries. France, Spain, England.
England.
Yeah, Portugal.
Already.
So,
yeah.
And us being a member of NATO with that, it is really the revived Roman Empire. But it's, you know, but it's not as strong as the old Roman Empire as a, what do you want to call it, as a conglomeration, as a nation. It's like the Ten Toes that, let me look and see what countries are members of NATO. NATO members, NATO countries. United Kingdom, the United States, Greece, Turkey, Germany, Spain, Czechoslovakia, Hungary. How many is that? Member nations, but all of these nations were actually part of the old Roman Empire.
Sure.
But I think according to prophecy, there should be, I have to look and see how many of these are actually just European. Iceland wouldn't have been in that, because some of these countries have been split up too and weren't called what they were called now. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to look into that.
Would Ireland be with them?
Yeah, Ireland would have been, let's see, Ireland would have been that, but it probably wasn't called Ireland at that time.
Right.
Let's see, we got Albania, France, Germany, Iceland, Italy. Ireland is not part of NATO, because I think Ireland is considered part of Great Britain.
Okay. What about Switzerland?
Switzerland. I think Switzerland is neutral, has always been neutral, and no, they're not part of it. Oh, wait a minute. Nope, Switzerland is not. So these are the countries that they say are part of NATO. Albania, Belgium, Bulgaria, Canada, Croatia, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Montenegro, Netherlands, North Macedonia, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Turkey, United Kingdom, and United States.
Okay, so Yugoslavia is not in there either, right?
No.
Okay.
And I think Yugoslavia is part of the old Soviet Union, too.
Okay.
So I think some of these countries, they're looking that Putin might want to go and take them all, not just Ukraine.
Right.
All of the ones that formerly broke off from Russia, the whole former Soviet, United Soviet Socialist Republic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, they're expecting Russia to attack the United States with cyber attacks and things like that. And so, you know, we need to keep a mind on the world stage, an eye on the world stage. And if things start elevating and it looks like, you know, we're starting with cyber attacks or you know, there's a faction in this country on the far right that wants to start civil war, and they, you know, and you know, that's really what Trump was talking about. That's really what he wanted.
Yep.
And he really encouraged them. So, you know, they're trying to put him back in office, what, in 2024?
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But, you know, there's still a faction of this country that wants him, and it's close to 50% that want him. And so, you got to be very careful because he set the stage, you know, with his actions and them not being able to actually, you know, bring him up on charges. You know, I can't say that. They actually impeached him twice. But he still hasn't done any jail time, you know. And I'm thinking that if he's impeached, he's not even supposed to be able to run for office.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking.
I have to look into that.
Right.
Because I don't think he should be even eligible to run. But, you know, you never know with the loopholes and stuff that they have. And I was trying to find this document that I had on the Republic of the United States of America that I could give you guys the link for it because it really explains, you know, all the different citizenships that are in this country and, you know, what qualifies you for what and, you know, what is the actual status of the former slaves and their descendants. So that you can just see that, you know, ownership was transferred. I think the 13th Amendment, where they were supposed to be getting rid of slaves, is not what they actually did. I got in a book I was reading that the 13th Amendment really was approving nationwide slavery, even for the South. But then the South wanted more. And so it didn't get passed that way. So it's, you know, a lot of different things. But we need to be mindful of these things because times are changing and things can happen in a moment's notice. I am more convinced that that have to get on the land and start preparing because it's going to be required to be there soon.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. But because things are going to get so bad, you know, if they were to do a nuclear strike, I know where I'm at would be one of the first to go. You know, all your major cities would get hit.
All the major cities, yeah.
Yeah, the major cities would get hit. This is the fifth largest city in the U.S., fluctuates between the fourth and the fifth. And so it would be one of the first places to go. And I think I live close enough to downtown. Probably if not vaporized, you know, would die from radiation poison. You know, and it just depends upon whether they did a ground burst or whether it was an air burst. But yeah, this is would be, you know, all your major cities, major population areas would be the first to go, and then it would be just be if it's a full out attack, then even, you know, anything close around there, they would just be one or two nukes and you take out everything within, you know, 100 miles. Close to D.C., you got to know you going.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Question, Brother Miles.
Huh?
I have a question for you. Have you heard anything else from Sister Rhea?
No, you know, other than she called in and, I text her, she didn't respond. She did call back in after that. But you know, she didn't stay. So I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know, you know, if Job had her doing that. I don't know.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just strange to me that she would call in but then wouldn't respond.
Right.
To a text, you know, hey, how you doing? What's up with you? What's going on? So I don't, I really don't know what's going on with her.
Hmm. No, we don't either.
So
we were talking about her today.
Either? Huh?
Nope. We were talking about her today. No, she hasn't contacted us.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with her then. Like I said, she called in. I was surprised that she called in.
Yeah, that shocked me too.
You know, and I didn't say anything the first time she called in, but the second time, you know, then I spoke to her, you know, online to make sure everybody understood she called in. I think she sent a link to the group. She sent a link for a song to the group. I don't know if anybody responded to it. I don't know if anybody responded to it. Maybe that's why she, maybe she's working or something like that. I don't know. I just know that it was just strange.
Yeah.
So, but if she contacts you, you know, by all means, be courteous. You know how to do. But
yeah,
I just don't. I'm just not trusting it, to be honest.
I'm not trusting it either.
So yeah, all right. Let's go ahead and move on with this meeting. Let's do our statement of faith. I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry business meeting. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially open. And we are in session. Our statement of faith.
I believe
that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, God. We just glorify you, Father. We magnify you and we lift you up. We give you honor on today, Father, for truly you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And Father, we just want to worship you on today. Do your business, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We magnify you. We extol thee. We extol thee. We lift thee up. not one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll get into that in a minute. Let me have the sisters to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, wherever you may be in the world. Again, Pal Talk on Blog Talk on the internet in general. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us go before the Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Father Yahweh, we ask that you would bless this meeting, that you would be a part of it, that it would be you that we hear. Father, bless each and every attender, even every attendee, I think that's the more proper way. Bless each attendee, Father, looking upon their situations, whatever they may need from you, Father, you know. Bless them. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And then as for our reading, Psalms 133. The book of Psalms 133. And we will be reading verses 1 through 3. A song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mounts of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We are in discipline. So we are in the bylaws, and we are talking about discipline. We talked about the expected behavior of the saints the last three or four meetings, actually probably about five or six meetings, expected behavior of the saints. And because this is talking about because this is talking about community and the body is, it's a government. It's a structure. It has structure. It's an entity. And so it has to operate by rules. All of the rules that we have in this document are out of the scriptures and what the scriptures call for. And so we want to talk about discipline. We're not talking about discipleship. We're talking about discipline. Anybody tell me what the difference is between discipline and punishment? Is there a difference?
Discipline and what?
Punishment. P-U-N-I-S-H-M-E-N-T.
It's controlling your actions.
Say that again.
Controlling your action. Discipline.
Okay. Controlling your actions. I'd have to chew on that one. It may fit into that. You controlling your actions, yeah, would be you being having discipline. But discipline itself is designed for correction, whereas punishment is not really designed for correction. So discipline is designed to correct behavior. Like when the Most High, you know, Adam and Eve ate from the tree, he didn't punish them. That wasn't a punishment that he put on them. It was discipline. It was action that was taken for or against, however you want to look at it, to correct the behavior. Correct the behavior, or correct, you know, what they had done. Wasn't designed to destroy them, because if he was down to destroy them, he would just kill them. He said, "I'll start over." But it was designed to correct the behavior, and that's what discipline is for in the body. And then there's punishments. Most of the most sized judgments are punishments. Most of his judgments ain't. I just thought about that as I'm saying this. Most of his judgments aren't designed to correct your behavior, because what is the penalty for most of his judgments? If you break his commandments, what's the penalty?
Death.
How does that correct you? Kind of final, isn't it?
It is final.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not designed to correct you. So it's not even discipline. It's punishment. But discipline is designed to correct you. Okay? So the paragraph reads, it's subparagraph D. Let me get this whole section. But we're in the bylaws. It is subsection C. No, this is actually subsection D in this, and this is paragraph D1. Now, let me scroll back up here and get the major section B. So this is Article 5. That can't be Article 5. Article 6. Sorry, it's Article 6, subsection D. Article 6, Covenant, Fellowship, Partnership, and Fellowship, subsection D. Discipline. Subsection C was prohibited conduct of covenant fellowship partners, or those that are in covenant fellowship. So what does the Bible say is prohibited behavior of the saints? And then the Bible also describes how saints are to be disciplined, members of the community. This is, so we're going to go over this. I'm going to read the first paragraph. Subsection 1, this body is committed to biblical discipline in order to prepare a spotless bride for Yeshua HaMashiach's return, to maintain holiness as a way of life, to restore the sinning person to a right relationship with Yah, and to expose sin so that it will not become a polluting influence in the rest of the body. There's a little bit of leaven does what? Leaven's the whole lump.
Leaven's the whole lump.
Okay, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 And we're going to be getting... Let's get verses 1 through 11. 11 is our reference verse, but we want to look at all these things because he's telling us and warning us against these. So, Sister Mary, can you read Ephesians 1 through 10? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10.
Okay. Ephesians 5 and 10. Oh, you want me to read from 1 to 10?
No, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10.
Okay. Be ye followers of Yah as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering for sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be one name among you and become saints. Neither filthiness
nor
fools.
Stop right there for just a second. I'm going to stop you and expound on what you already read. So it says, be ye therefore followers of Elohim as dear children. You know, your children are supposed to be, obedient. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet smell in his nostril. But fornication, sex outside of marriage, and all uncleanliness, and this all uncleanliness is not just, you know, evil spirits or, you know, a bad mind, but this is all has everything to do with all the cleanliness laws that the Most High has set forth in Torah. And covetedness, you know, wanting what somebody else has. Let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Okay, so this behavior is not supposed to be what tolerated. Verse 4, continue.
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let
okay,
no man
stop
deceive
there.
You.
Stop there for a second. So neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You know, and I'm guilty of jesting. And you know that. Yeah, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim. Verse 5.
You mean verse 6? We just read 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 6, my bad.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Elohim unto the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers of them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. In Elohim, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Providing what is acceptable unto God.
Okay, stop there at 10. Proving what is acceptable unto Yah. What's acceptable unto him? Not our standard.
No.
But what's acceptable unto him? Just like you offer your body a living sacrifice, acceptable to Yah. He has defined your sacrifice to him as being acceptable. Here he say, proving what is acceptable unto Yah. And the only way you're going to know that is to read his words. To read his word. And have, verse 11, and I'll read verse 11. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or correct them. So we are commanded to correct unfruitful works. In other words, if we're practicing sin, if someone's practicing sin and it's known, then we're supposed to reprove them. We're supposed to correct them. Brother, you can't shack up with that sister. Why? Because you're fornicating if you do. Can't just shack up with her. We're supposed to correct that. We're supposed to provide correction. Okay? Let's continue. Any questions on that verse or what we just read?
No, sir. And it's self-explanatory.
All right, amen. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to be getting verses 15 and 16. And Sister Lorraine, can I have you to read that for us?
But if he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
So, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's telling us that, and holy means here, means to be clean, means to not be of, you know, a dirty mind, not be of, you know, suffer from lasciviousness. Because the Most High himself is holy, and that's what we want around him. So we are to reprove people who are walking in sin, correct them, because we are called to be holy as he is holy. Any questions on that?
No.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to get verses 6 and 7. And Sister Denise, can you read those two verses for us? First Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right. All right, go ahead, my sister.
Your glory is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
All right, amen. So we're going to go back and get verses 1 through what she just read, so we have context. Because you got to understand what's going on here. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Right? There's not only fornication, sex outside of marriage, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. You know, so people are going around these days and they are doing any and everything. And what seems, you know, what somebody says is normal or abnormal, people are defining what's normal and abnormal for themselves. And what's acceptable and not acceptable for themselves. Okay. All right, somebody just texted me. My bad. In this case, this person is having sex with his father's wife. Oh, wait a minute. Your father's wife is one of two things. That's either your mother
or your stepmother.
Or who? Or your stepmother.
Your stepmother.
It doesn't define it here. It's just his father's wife. But she's playing a role to you as either way as a what? A mother, whether she's your birth mother or your stepmother. Now they're saying this is going on. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. What are these people are bragging about this? That he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned. You think if we found out that one of you sisters was sleeping with your son, that that would be a good thing?
No, it wouldn't be.
Think we should be bragging about it? If we found out about it, up about it?
No.
Should we not be sorry and mourn for that those two?
Yeah, they said mourn for them.
Right. We should mourn for them because that's not natural. So we see what's going on here in Corinthians. We told you not to commit fornication, but you got some fornicating going on that is not even so much as heard amongst the Gentiles. For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, I'm not there physically, but I'm there with you spiritually, have judged already. You got a lot of people that when it comes to their walk, they don't want nobody judging them. But Paul said, I've already judged in this matter. As though I were present. So we're not told not to judge. We're told, judge not lest you be judged. Because if you're doing the same thing, how are you going to judge somebody else of it?
Amen.
Paul says, I've already judged in this matter. As though I was there with you. I'm not there with you. I'm there with you in spirit. But I've judged as though I was there with you present. That I'm right there with you concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, do deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That means to kick them out of the group. Because you're going to find out that the Most High says we're supposed to judge the ones within. We're supposed to judge ourselves, and we're supposed to judge the members of the community. And when things get so bad like this, this brother's doing, you sleeping with your father's wife, he says, turn them over to Satan, kick them out. Supposed to be out of the group, and we're going to read that. To live or want such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You glorying is not good. They were glorying in this thing. Today giving high fives and bragging about it and, you know, everybody running around talking about it. But not in a bad way. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore that old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. All right, I want to explain to you guys something about reading the scripture. So whenever you're reading, understand that when you see a colon, see that colon in verse 7? At the end of verse 7?
Mm-hmm.
That means that the next verse explains, what follows explains what you just read in the previous verse. So verse 8 explains what is going on in verse 7. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, and thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. That's how you should read that. That colon means that you need to read the next verse because it's going to explain to you what you just read in the previous verse. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now he goes into, he's going to explain further because now we got another colon. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. So we don't want to be running around with fornicators of the world, but he's talking about, no, you got somebody in the body fornicating. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. Or for then must you needs go out of the world. Because if you're running around with them, then you need to come out of the world. If this is who you're running around with and you say that you're a saint, it really means that you got to come out of the world because you're still in it, still running around doing the same things they're doing. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if you any man that is called a brother or a sister be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, do what?
No, not eat.
What does that mean?
That means
you don't have nothing to do with them?
Basically, yeah, you don't have nothing to do with them. Anybody that you won't share a meal with, now I won't eat with you, it means that you got, you really have either a very dislike of them or you are not allowed to keep company with them. It says, no, not to eat with them. Eating is very, you know, for, I don't know, for a lot of people, but in the scriptures and in life, having a meal with somebody is supposed to be an intimate thing. You know, today we might sit down and eat with just about anybody. But in the scriptures, this was an intimate thing. You ate with people that you were close to.
Yeah.
So when he says, no, not to eat with them, he's saying now you're no longer what? Close with them. Why? Because they're practicing what the scriptures say they ought not do. For what have I to do to judge them? Here's that word judge again. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? See, we're supposed to be judging one another. We're supposed to be keeping one another straight. And a lot of people get offended if they think you're judging them. But the scriptures tell us to judge them. Now, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Then what do I have to do with that? Do not you judge them which are within. But them that are without, who judges? Verse 13.
God judges. Elohim judges.
Elohim judges them. Therefore, put away from among you, from yourselves, that wicked person. Not supposed to have this going on in the body. And that you're supposed to judge them. And if they're doing something really wicked, that you're supposed to put them out. as a discipline. Judge in the matter, and then do what the scriptures say. Any questions on that? Because, you know, people are quick to say, you can't judge me. Or are you judging me? And that's another fallacy, another lie that has been told by the church. They teach these things backwards. If we're in the church, and this goes for the church as well, but if we're in the church, we're supposed to be living as a community, and if these things are found out, then you're supposed to be judged from within, and then you're supposed to be offered an opportunity to repent, to turn away from it. And then if you refuse to, because he said, how many times to let this be named amongst you?
None.
Not don't once. Let it be named amongst you once.
Once. Not once.
And if it is, then it's supposed to be dealt with. And then if they refuse, he says, let them go. He didn't say kill them. He said turn them over to Satan. In the law, they would have been what? Two or three witnesses?
They'd have been killed.
They'd have been killed. Today, he says, if it's found out, you let them, offer them a chance to repent. And if they don't repent, then you put them out. And Elohim will judge them. Elohim's penalty for it is what?
Yeah.
It's death. So whether it's by car accident, by, you know, some disease, or whatever, that's what's coming. Because judgment has been made. So we judge those that are within, and then when someone becomes just totally unruly or they don't want to submit, it says turn them over to Satan. And then Elohim will judge them because he judges those that are without, those that are outside the body. Any questions?
No.
Who does Elohim judge?
The wicked.
And where are the wicked what supposed to be?
Without. Fornicators.
That's who they are. Fornicators, covetous. If they want to remain in that state, then he says you're supposed to put them out. And Elohim will judge them. When they are part of the body, we are supposed to judge them. We're supposed to reprove them, try to what? Correct them. And if they will not hear it, then we're supposed to put them out, turn them over to Satan. Don't even what? Eat with them. Now, so let me ask you a question. If somebody was part of a community and they love being part of that community and they fail and they did something that they're not supposed to do, it's found out, and they don't repent right away, and so you put them out, then they come back to you because they miss being part of the community. And they repent. Are you supposed to take them back?
I would think so. Yes.
Yes, you are. Supposed to take them back. Okay? Because they may not have realized the errors of their ways right away.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're truly repentant, and if they're truly repentant, then what do you think that they are going to do?
Well, they won't do what they did, just get kicked out.
They won't do that, but they what type of attitude do you think that they should come back with? Do you think they should be ready to
humble.
Submit themselves to
yes.
authority?
Yes. Yep.
You think they should be willing to take any type of discipline that is put upon them?
Yep.
If they want to come back in. So we're supposed to reprove them, and anything that takes a reproving, there is no, you know, people want to be forgiven without consequence. That's not life. And then you're probably going to take them back on a what, trial basis?
Yeah, because you got to see if they truly repented.
Right, you got to see if they truly repented. You got to prove them. So this is the commandment of the Most High, and this is how we are to do this. Let's go to Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 7. And I'll read it this time. Joshua, chapter 7. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 But the children of Israel committed a trespass. What is a trespass?
When you do something that you have no business doing.
Yeah. We can change the word trespass there for sin. And the sin is what? The trespass of the law. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Somebody touched something or took something they weren't supposed to. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accursed thing. So this man has took something he wasn't supposed to. And the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. Now this one man did this, but who was the Most High angry with?
Okay, I didn't hear you.
I said, this man took something. He took up the accursed thing. And we would have to go back and read, you know, anything that belongs to some what they worship, anything that somebody uses to worship a false god, no matter what
okay.
it's made out of. If you came across a solid gold cross or a solid gold image of Messiah, you're not supposed to take it.
No.
It was supposed to be burnt up in the street. In the streets. Everybody understand that?
Amen.
It was a curse because it was used in the false worship of a false god. Okay? And the anger of Yah was kindled. This one man did it, but who was Yah mad at?
The children of Israel.
The entire nation. I want us to get this. The entire nation. He'll be angry with the entire community because of the sin of what? One person.
One person.
And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven and on the east side of Bethel. and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. Now, we were told that the Most High is angry because somebody took of the accursed thing. Now we're going to get the story. Okay? Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor. Now, he has taken this accursed thing from somewhere else. But they're getting ready to go up against Ai. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they went to, I'm just going to pick a city because I'd have to go back and look and see where they had just fought in. But let's say that they had just came out of Jericho. And this person took this thing from a city, from Jericho, and he's got it hid in the camp. Now they're getting ready to go to war against Ai. Okay, that's kind of the scenario, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Why? But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor there, for they, Ai, are what? But a few. This is a small city. So there went up there of the people about 3,000 men. And they led and they fled before the men of Ai. Now, we only sent 2,000 or 3,000, and they got chased by these few men from Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. Now, this is a problem because the Most High said none of Israel would die in battle. Think about that. Y'all going to go to battle for the promised land. Ain't none of y'all going to die. All of you going to get your inheritance. But somebody took up the accursed thing and 36 men died. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shabarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water, or became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yah until the evening tide. And he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. Most High, you told us if we go to war, ain't none of us going to die. You're going to go before us and make sure none of us die. And here we are, 36 of our brothers have gotten killed. Something's wrong. And Joshua said, alas, O Yah Elohim, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to Elohim we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And Yah, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? You're going to battle and you turn your back, that means you're being chased. You're retreating. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ around us or surround us. And cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto this great? And what wilt thou do unto this great name? And Yah said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore, or why liest thou upon thy face? Why are you down there on your face? Israel hath what?
Sin.
And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So not only did they take this thing, touch it, they took it, and they took it apart, and then they hid it in their own stuff. Now, we notice this was one man. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were. You took up the accursed thing. Now you are what?
Accursed.
Accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Get that thing from among us. Okay? Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. So it don't matter. As long as this accursed thing is among you, you're not going to be able to stand before your enemies. Because you're accursed. You took up the accursed thing, now it makes you cursed. And Elohim says he will not be with them. And that's what we got to understand. We want the Most High to be with us. So we definitely don't want to take anything that's accursed, and we don't want to do anything that's going to cause the Most High to do what? To leave us.
Amen.
In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. Gather everybody together. In the morning, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which Yah taketh shall come according to the families thereof. So Yah is going to identify the family that has the accursed thing. He's going to identify the tribe that it's in. Those families in that tribe are going to have to come up. Let me read again. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which Yah taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which Yah shall take shall come by household. And the household which Yah shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be, what shall be done to him?
Burnt with fire.
Burnt with fire.
He and what?
He and all he has.
He and all he has shall be burnt with fire. Because he has transgressed the covenant of Yah. And because he has wrought or done folly in Israel. So this penalty was death. In this case, death by what? Fire.
Fire.
Because why fire? Anybody know?
No.
Okay. So your homework is.
Does it have anything to do with the lake of fire?
Does it have anything to do with what?
Oh, the lake of fire.
The consuming fire.
No, it has
fire.
Nothing to do with the lake of fire.
Because the Father is a consuming fire?
Not even that.
Oh.
So your homework's going to be, tell me why Achan had to be burned with fire. That means you got to go back and do some reading someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your homework for this assignment. Why did Achan have to be burnt with fire? He and all that he had. Okay?
Yep.
Because he has transgressed the covenant of Yah. Now we know why he's being done to him, but I want to know why he could have been killed by what, stoning. They could have thrust him through with a spear, you know, shot him with some arrows. Why did he have to be burnt by fire? Okay, that's what I want to know. And because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribes of Judah was taken. The Most High said, tribe of Judah. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man. So he said, the tribe of Judah, the family of Zerahites, the transgressor is in there. Now they got to come man by man. And then Zebedee was taken. And he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So we got now Achan being identified. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yah Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, unto Yah, and tell me, make your confession unto who?
Yah, to the Most High.
But tell who?
Joshua.
Tell Joshua. Okay. Make your confession to the Most High, but tell me now what thou hast done. So he's putting the onus of him, who you talking to really is who? The Most High. And I'm a man standing instead of the Most High. Tell me. Because the people will think that they can go and confess to the Most High and they ain't got to confess to nobody else. So let me ask another question. This is not a test question. It's not homework. Can you confess to the Most High? And that's a yes or a no.
Yes.
I heard one yes. Anybody else?
Yes.
I heard three yeses. The answer is no.
No?
No. By definition, what's the definition of confession? Confession is to make known that which is not known. How can you tell the Most High something he don't know?
Okay.
Got the idea?
Mm-hmm.
To make known that which is not known. So you confess unto men. The Most High knew who had sinned. Did he tell Joshua?
Mm-mm. No.
The Most High says, I'm going to show him to you. He could have just told him it was Achan. But he wants us to confess our sins to men. I already know who did it. I already know what they did. Now I'm going to bring him before you, and he's going to confess to you. So Joshua says, Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yah Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, to Yah Elohim Israel, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me, because it's hidden. Is it hidden from the Most High?
No.
So who is it hidden from?
Joshua.
Make known to me that which is hidden, not known. You can't do that with the Most High. There's nothing he don't know. So you can tell him, but you're not really confessing. You're being truthful, but you're not really confessing. Because the Most High knows what you've done already.
The
Most High knows who sinned right here. It's hidden from men. So tell me what thou hast done and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against Yah Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. They don't reiterate everything that he did. They just say thus and thus, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yah. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, with who else?
With his sons and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent.
Everything he had.
Everything. His sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. Did his wife and children take that stuff?
No.
But they probably knew he hid it in the tent. And what happened? And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yah shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and did what?
Burnt him with fire.
So they stoned him, and then they what?
Burnt him.
Burnt all of them up. So this was no light matter. And we got to understand by concept, when we want the Most High to walk with us, we all have to walk upright before him. We all have to obey his statutes, his laws, his commandments. One of us can get us all killed.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even know what happened. We go out in the streets to do a ministry, to do a street ministry, and somebody starts shooting and four of us get hit. They weren't even shooting at us. But because we have sin in the camp or we're doing something, got something that's accursed, the Most High says, I'm not protecting y'all. And the ones that didn't get hit feel like they were blessed. Truth of the matter is, it may have been only what? One of us. This one man did this thing. 36 men died in battle. And now his sons and his daughters and his wife, everybody is what? Being killed.
Killed.
Burnt in stone.
Everybody understand that concept?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, amen. Because it is real. Verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So Yah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Yah says, okay, you got rid of that accursed thing from among you. You put it from among you. That's why the Most High says when you find a brother or a sister doing something that they're not supposed to be doing and they won't repent, he says, put them where? Put them out. And he will deal with them. Joshua said, told Achan, Yah going to deal with you today. But who actually dealt with them? All the people did. He stoned them and they burned them. Right. Any questions in that?
Mm-mm.
No.
Any concerns? Any disagreements?
No.
You see, we got to understand that, number one, the Most High just doesn't play. What he says, he means.
Amen.
And I will do what? I will not be with you. You know, people think that the Most High is going to be with them no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be with you no matter what. And a lot of times, you know, people will feel that they're blessed. But the truth of the matter is, it's just like I said, I got to do this precept. The Most High said he gives wealth and power and authority. Is there anybody else in this world that's authorized to do that?
No, it's not.
Actually, there is.
Who?
Satan. Remember when Satan came to tempt Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he took up on top of the high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world.
And he said, all this I give you if you fall down and worship.
If you bow down. It's his to give for those that worship him. And a lot of times people are blessed and they're not living according to the Most High and wondering where their blessings are coming from. Satan has the same authority. It's been given to him. He's the God of this world right now. He took it from Adam. He couldn't offer it to Messiah if it wasn't his to give.
Because he said, everybody this was given to me.
Say that again?
Yes, because when he was tempting Messiah, he said, because all this was given to me.
Right, it was given to him. Mm. He says, I'll give it to you if you bow down to what? Me. Got to understand that he has the authority to do that. And if we're not living for the Most High, where do people think, you know, they may not acknowledge it, but where do they think their blessing is coming from? If I don't have to get you... Yeah, if I don't have to actively pursue you because you're in active disobedience and you belong to me, it's when we defect from his kingdom that Satan gets mad. That's when you start having real problems because now he's coming against you because you have what? Defected. So let me explain it this way. As far as salvation goes, when we were in the world, we were of the world, and we were of Satan's kingdom, and we were citizens in his kingdom, and we had to defect from his kingdom. And where were we defecting to? Into the kingdom of the Most High. That's what repentance is all about. I no longer want to live that life. I no longer want to live in transgression to the Most High. I no longer want to obey the laws of Satan's kingdom. I no longer want to be a citizen in that kingdom. We're still in that kingdom. We're not supposed to be what? Of that kingdom. Make sense?
Yes, it does.
And then we decide we're going to defect. I no longer want to be part of this. And I want to defect to the Most High's kingdom. I want to live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. his judgments. And so you agree to the fact. It's like saying, okay, I no longer want to be a Russian citizen or a Ukrainian citizen. I want to be a citizen of the U.S. Then do you think you're going to have to agree to live by the laws of the U.S. and by the Constitution of the U.S.?
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
The same thing. And so when we are of the other kingdom, why would we think that we're, why would we think if we're a member, we don't know, and I know the world doesn't know this, they don't look at it this way, but if you're not a member of the kingdom of the Most High, why would the Most High be blessing you?
Oh,
amen.
Oh.
And shouldn't your blessings be coming from your king, of whatever kingdom you're part of?
I would think so.
Amen. It actually is really that way. So we have to understand, we have to defect. We become a member of the kingdom of the Most High. And we bless him, and he blesses us. And so that is the way that works. So a lot of people in the world, you know, you can go read about a lot of rap stars and like who's famous for this that, you know, just put her out there like that, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
They took satanistic vows, her and Jay-Z.
So their
wealth and their fame does not come from the Most High. Comes from Satan, who they made the pact with. So we got to understand, Satan has the same authority. And usually what he does is he's subtle, just like he was with Eve. If you already in my kingdom and you're already doing the things that are going to keep you in my kingdom, then I can bless you with the riches of the world and let you enjoy your sinful life, because I know in the end you're going to end up the same place I'm going. And that's his whole purpose. He's actually serving a purpose right now, and it's to reveal what's in people's hearts. He comes to test you. But then once he got you, he don't have to test you. If you're already in his kingdom, he don't have to test you. You don't have to have any trials and tribulations. Why don't I just keep blessing you with what I'm blessing you with? Because it's what's making you happy so that you will stay with me.
Oh.
And guess who a lot of people attribute that to? To the Most High.
But they'll say God is blessing them.
Right. They'll say the Most High is blessing them. But their life will say that they're contrary to the Most High. What they're doing is contrary to the Most High. Food for thought. Consider the matter. Okay? Consider it. Satan could not offer Messiah this whole world if it wasn't his to give.
Oh.
And the Most High says he takes from the wicked to give to the righteous. Just want to give you a different way of looking at it.
And I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes we have to look at things through different lenses. Look at them through a different filter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next paragraph we're going to read. Well, let's do this. I'm going to reread what we just read, and then we're just going to go ahead and vote on it. And the ones that are here are going to be the quorum. The body is committed, this body is committed to biblical discipline in order to prepare a spotless bride for Yeshua HaMashiach's return, to maintain holiness as a way of life, to restore the sinning person to a right relationship with Yah. That's what we're supposed to be doing, restoring them. And to expose sin so that it will not become a polluting influence in the rest of the body. And I gave you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. I gave you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And then we just read Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 26. All in favor with the way that this paragraph reads, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Paragraph 2. Divisive persons shall be confronted according to the pattern outlined in Titus, chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Let's go to the book of Titus, chapter 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, my sister. Everybody else there? Titus? Make sure we're all on
amen.
The same page. All right, amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 9. And I'll read it. Actually, I'm going to read starting verse 1. So we have context. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and the powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of Elohim, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Affirm these things constantly, that they which have believed in Elohim might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So avoid foolish questions. We're really not supposed to be, like I told you, it really is a sin for us to tell other peoples that we are what? Hebrew Israelites.
Israel.
Okay.
And people of the book.
Right. We're not supposed, well, and we're really not supposed to tell them because Yah says it profanes his name. When we tell them, because then they say, oh, you're the people of the book, and he couldn't keep you? Some gods you serve.
Oh.
See how that profanes him? Mm-hmm. And contentions, you know, contentions in the word, contentions about doctrine, and strivings about the law. Why are you arguing about the law?
Amen.
It should just be an automatic thing that you're supposed to keep it. Not be trying to argue to get from under it. For they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and the second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sins being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis, well, we're going through 11. So, the first and second admonition. A man that is a heretic. What's this? What's a heretic? Let's look up that definition. In the Greek, ha he rehetos. A schismatic, a heretic. Now let me see what the Webster's Dictionary has for that.
Could you spell that for me, Brother Miles?
The heretic or the Greek spelling?
A heretic.
H-E-R-E. T-I-C.
H-E-R-E?
Heretic. Yeah, H-E-R-E. T-I-C.
Okay.
Spelling in the Greek.
H-A-R-E-H-A-I-R-E-T-I-K-O-S. Heretico.
Thank you.
Okay, you're
heretico.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. You are heretico.
Heretico.
So let me get the Webster's definition of that. And I don't have a Webster's definition for that. Okay, give me 1 second. Let me search someplace else. Heretic definition, a person believing or practicing religious heresy, a person holding an opinion at odds with what is generally accepted. So this definition means that your group that you're with, if you are teaching contrary to the group, they can call you a what?
Heretic.
A heretic.
A heretic.
So we could be a heretic to a Catholic.
Okay.
We could be a heretic to anyone that don't believe that you're supposed to fear Yah.
Okay.
Because their doctrine is, no, he's all merciful and he's all kind and he don't want us to fear him.
Mm-hmm.
They would call us what? Right. They would call us a heretic. That at the same time, we might call them a what?
Heretic.
A heretic.
Pronouncing it in the Greek, and I like that one.
Heretico?
Heretico.
Amen.
I like that.
So, if they don't believe that, we go up here, these first and second admonitions are up here in these previous verses. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers and obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So the first precept is to be ready to every good work. It's made up of being subject to the principalities and powers, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So be subject to principalities and powers and obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And then the second admonition would be to speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Supposed to do those two things. And then he says in verse 11, or verse, verse 10, a man that is a heretic, contrary to those after the first or the second admonition, do what to them?
Reject them.
Reject them. Knowing that he that is such is subverted. They've been subverted and sinned, being condemned of themselves. They're not accepting good doctrine. The scriptures teach us that doing good works don't save us, but once we're saved, we're to do good works. And we're supposed to become meek. Some people try to push your buttons, and the best thing to do is just to avoid them. Because what they're trying to do, they're trying to get you to sin. They know what they're doing. And so if you are not chasing after them and not trying to, you know, become confrontational and contentious with them, and they come looking for you, then you avoid them. Because you know that they're coming to push your buttons. They're coming to say things to you they ought not say. They're coming to pick at you just to make you, to get a response out of you. To bring you out of character. And he says, so the first one is obey the principalities and powers and obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And the second one is to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, be gentle, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Why? For we ourselves, we're sometimes what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that kindness and the love of our Savior Elohim towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness. You know, so scriptures will tell you that the law can't save you. It wasn't designed to save you. The law was to show you, it was given to us to show us what's right and wrong in the eyes of the Most High and to tell us what the penalty is. Okay, that's what the law was given for. But you can't not transgress against it. Because then it condemns you. So it was not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Most High always intended for his people to be filled with his Spirit. And his Spirit is not his word. Because anytime people don't have the experience that is not, that is in this book, and they want to feel close to the Most High, then they want to read a whole lot of scripture. They want to get filled with a whole lot of scripture and believe that they are filled with the Holy Ghost. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're at 7:55. We'll stop after this. We still have paragraphs 3. We got the rest of this paragraph 2 and 3 and 4. Yeah, 3 through 5. So 2 through 5, we've done only a part of, we voted on 1. We just started on 2. But to teach concept here, Ephesians chapter 6. Whole armor of Elohim. That's got to be 6. All right, we're going to just read these verses. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. And hold on a minute. Wherefore, and everybody there, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, amen. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So your loins, your middle section, girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Everybody see sword of the Spirit?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the word of Yah.
Which is the word of Elohim, the word of Yah. The sword of the Spirit is the word. So when we read the word, we are, and we talk the word, we're exercising what? The sword.
What?
Can anybody pick up the sword and read it?
No.
Sure they can. What's stopping somebody from picking up the Bible?
Oh, okay.
Ain't nothing stopping them from picking it up. I didn't say properly understanding it or discerning, but they can pick it up and read it.
Yep.
Okay. And then they can repeat what they read.
Yep.
And it's a sword. It's a weapon. But it's
and
not.
And if you take the S off of the sword, it's a word.
Right. It's a word. Amen. But you're using it. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's not the Spirit himself. Everybody understand that?
Man,
yeah.
So when people say, you know, you got congregations out there that tell you that the more word they know, the more spirit they have. And I'm here to tell you that's just a flat-out lie.
Yeah, it is.
Because being filled by the Spirit of the Most High is a literal thing. He is a spirit himself. He is a spirit. And he says, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. A literal
thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm going to beget you by my spirit.
Mm.
And you're going to become my child.
Amen.
By my spirit. And what you're going to use to fight with is the sword of the Spirit, the Word. That's how you're going to defend yourself. Anytime Satan comes up against you, you should be quoting what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Scriptures. That's how you defend yourself, with the truth.
Amen.
In peace.
Hmm.
Your shield should be your faith. Amen. If you got strong faith, you got a strong shield.
Amen.
All right, so let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your discipline. We thank you for telling us how we are to treat one another and how we are to deal with those who are not walking according to your word. That we walk in your word, Father, that we keep your judgments. You are the final say. And what you have said, we cannot alter. We shouldn't even have an opinion.
Mm.
So, Father, put our word, put your word within us. Let your statutes,
yes,
your laws, your commandments, and your judgments be our word.
Yes.
What you say, we say. For this is your will. And this is what keeps us safe. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so we'll continue in discipline according to the scriptures. Because the Most High, you know, he has said that we are to do those things that are pleasing to him, and we're to do it the way he says to do it. We're not to add to or take away from. And we're to avoid unfruitful works of darkness, and we're to reprove them. We're to avoid doing them and reprove those who do them. Correct them. Amen. So we will continue this on next week. We will still be in Section D, Article 6, Section D, subparagraph 2 of the bylaws under discipline. And we'll be talking about decisive persons and how to confront them according to the scriptures.
Okay.
According to the script. Okay. There is an accepted way. And we, the saints, are supposed to judge the saints. And anybody that won't accept judgment, being a saint, then we're to turn them over to Satan. And Elohim says he will judge them. So they won't receive debts from us, but we already know. You go before the Most High. He's not that merciful and kind and forgiving God that you know, the church wants to make him to be. He's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
And when his own body says, we reject this one and we turn him over to you, he already know that they're guilty. If we've been righteous and not being petty, but we're doing it in righteousness and we're judging in righteousness, then he says, okay, turn them over to me. I will judge them. And my judgment is already set. So if they are guilty of this thing, my judgment is already set. They don't even have to guess what the judgment is. All they got to do is go read it. That, you know, that's how crazy this stuff is. How crazy that the world has gotten that, you know, we're just going to ignore what the Most High says. And we're going to come up with our own form of justice. We're going to come up with our own judgments. We're going to do, you know, it's like the Supreme Court will say, this is the law of the land. And the Supreme Court has said, yeah, it's constitutional and it's lawful. So every state has to obey it and every individual has to obey it. But then when it comes to the judgments of the Most High, and he's the last word, can't appeal above him, we don't want to accept that judgment. We don't want to accept his. We can't do that. I won't do that. I'm not going to go try to, you know, put myself above him and make me my own judgment because his didn't please me. I didn't like that one, Most High. I think I'll do something different. We don't have an option. It's not it's his judgments, it, but we got to understand, and I'll let us go. Pray us out. And I'm going to have Sister Denise pray us out. But what we got to understand is that we don't get to appeal above him. There is no authority above him. So what he says is what? Final.
Yeah.
And somehow people want to make it optional. Well, it is optional. You don't have to do it. Just understand that you're still going to go before him and he's still going to judge you the same way. All right. Sister Denise, will you pray us out?
Yes, oh yeah. Okay. Father God, thank you for this day.
Because I have to do this or else it won't be official. I make a motion that we bring this meeting, this session to an end. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Can I have a second?
I second.
Thank you. All right, amen. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. All right, my sister, you can pray us out now.
Father God, thank you for this today. Thank you for every day, Father. Father, thank you for Brother Miles and the class today, because I learned a lot. I just want to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 All right. Tomorrow is Shabbat, and more than likely, we are still in discipleship. So we will continue in discipleship. We finish this up. When we first started this months back, I did a piece of it, and then we moved on. But now I want to do the whole thing, one lesson after another, until we finish everything on discipleship and the way that we should walk. So tomorrow is, I think it's part 11 or 12, one of those parts to this, and that's what it will be. And then Sabbath morning will probably be discipleship again, but then Sabbath evening, I think I'm going to do what day was Messiah crucified, so that we can start preparing for the Passover ahead of time and have understanding when we come into Passover, so that we can just enjoy Passover. So I'm going to teach that so that we understand that we should not be taking part in Good Friday. We should not be taking part in Easter. We can celebrate that day, But we're not going to call it what? Easter.
Easter.
Right. We're not going to call it Easter. It's one of our official holidays, and the world celebrates it, and they call it Easter. But Easter is a celebration of the goddess Esther.
The fertility goddess.
The fertility goddess. So tell me, anybody tell me, what do bunny rabbits and eggs have to do with Messiah?
Nothing. Well, number one, a rabbit can't lay no egg.
No, he can't. But they're not associated like that. A rabbit represents what?
Fertility.
Fertility.
The eggs represent fertility. The rabbit represents, the actual act. Rabbits, they screw a lot. I'll just put it that way.
Ooh, okay.
And that's what that represents. So the sexual act in a rabbit, you know, their proclivity or their nature to reproduce a lot. And then the eggs actually represent fertility.
Mm-hmm.
So does that have anything to do with Messiah?
Nothing whatsoever.
It all has everything to do with the goddess Esther. Okay. So they've hijacked the Most High's day, resurrection, or the resurrection of Messiah, and then tie it to their feast day, Esther. And they just called it Easter. But it really has, he says, don't do that. We are not to do that. So we have to understand that it has nothing to do with him in that regard. And so we need to celebrate it for what it's really meant to be celebrated for. His resurrection from the dead. Now, they will put that in theirs. But it's like you mixing paganism with the Most High. When we say, oh, Easter Sunday. Why don't they just call it Resurrection Sunday or call it, you know, another name? But they tie it to a deity. And we're not to do that because deity has celebrations and ceremonies and customs that go along with the worship of that deity. You know, everybody remember as a child, get your new what? Your new Easter dress?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you go
Easter
to church.
Easter bunny and Easter basket.
In the bath and do the Easter egg hunt?
Right.
All that's tied to the goddess Esther. Has nothing to do with Messiah. And so when they mix that message in there together and then they celebrate and do those things that are not associated with it, it's not pleasing to the Most High. And when we know to do better, then we're not to do it.
Amen.
So we worship him in spirit and in truth.
In truth.
So we will talk about his crucifixion and his resurrection, but we won't be telling nobody to go out and get no Easter bunnies, no Easter basket. We won't be doing no Easter egg hunts, none of that stuff. Because it is straight up just paganism mixed with the Most High's, a high holy day for the Most High. All right, so I will teach so that we understand what day he was actually crucified. Then we can tell what day he actually came out of the tomb. And what day really, really that Sunday, because he came out at the end of the Sabbath, that Sunday has actually got its own feast day. It is not called Resurrection Sunday. I said, why didn't they call it that? To keep from calling it Easter. but it has a feast day. It has the name of a feast day given to it by the Most High. Anybody know what that is? No? All right. So that's your second homework. What is the real name for the holiday that the world celebrates as Easter? What is its Hebrew name? What did the Most High call it? Because there is a feast day for that day.
I think I know.
Don't tell it.
I
think I know too, but I'm not sure.
All right, well then confirm it.
That's what I'm finna. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Amen.
I think I know.
Because he has a day, he has given us all the feast days that he wants us to have, and he's given them names. And we want to celebrate his feast day and not what the world celebrates.
Right.
So, matter of fact, that question will be due Sabbath evening, because that's when I'm going to teach it.
Okay.
So you, Sabbath evening, Saturday evening, you should have come with the answer to that question. What is the name of the official day that we celebrate, that the Most High gave us to celebrate on that same day? And then what was the other homework I gave you? I had it now. I just forgot it.
I'll tell you.
Why did Abraham have to be burnt by fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Why did Achan have to be burnt by fire? All right. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But my love don't compare to the love of the Most High.
Man.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Have a blessed rest of your... All right. Peace and blessings.
Amen.
And da-da-da-da.
Shabbat, I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming in. got good vibrations, so what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? I'm